We read together this morning 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We read in connection with Lord's Day 35 again, where we are taught that we are to worship God as He has commanded in His Word. Focus this morning is on the worship that we give to God by means of our giving. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So far we read the inspired Word of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, a few minutes ago while the deacons were receiving the offerings, were you worshiping God? That's the question that we face in the sermon this morning. The sermon this morning is on giving. But the sermon this morning is not simply on giving generally to all of the causes of God's kingdom. The sermon this morning specifically is on giving as an aspect of our worship of God's name. And that's what we need to face this morning. Not simply are we giving as we are called to give as children of God, we need to face this morning the question, are we worshiping God by giving in the right way? As we consider that Word of God this morning, may God convict us in our hearts to give not only, but to give in the right way and to give in the worship of His name. We're continuing this morning our short series of sermons on Lord's Day 35 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 5 treats the second commandment of God's law, in which we learn that we are not to worship God by images, but only as He has commanded in His Word. We've considered already that God commands that we worship Him by reading and hearing the Word of God preached. We've considered already that God commands that we worship His name by singing. And now this morning we take up this truth concerning giving. And when you look at the Scriptures, you learn that what we are doing as a congregation is proper and necessary. that in every worship service, an element of that worship service is giving. Let's look at that command to worship God by giving. We notice in the first place this morning the command to give. In the second place, we consider the manner in which we are to give. And in the third place, we see the reason we give. Worship God by giving. The command, the manner, and the reason. Worship, or rather giving, is an important part in the life of the child of God. That's evident from a very practical point of view. If you're a member of the church, and more broadly of the kingdom of God, an important part of your life in that church and kingdom involves giving. It's very practical. The fact is that the things that we do as a church, and more broadly in the kingdom of God, require the use of money. We as a congregation cannot operate without the proper funds being there to operate as a congregation to ensure that the Word of God is proclaimed from our midst. As part of a denomination, many of the things that we do as a denomination can only be done if there are sufficient funds for doing so. The seminary could not operate and teach young men to be preachers of the gospel unless there is the money there to do that. The printing presses, very simply, wouldn't print the Standard Bearer and wouldn't print the other Reformed literature that we put out unless they are paid to do so. Our missionaries, domestically and foreignly, could not live in those foreign lands and preach and teach the gospel there unless they are provided for. And then you can consider the many other things to which we give as a congregation. We give to our Christian schools. We give to other organizations that labor in the name of Jesus Christ. And you can go on and on and on. Very practically, those things don't exist and those things don't operate without their money being involved to do so. And the question is, where does that money come from? And as we often tell our children, when they want to buy things excessively, the money doesn't grow on trees. And also what we can say to them as it relates to these spiritual things is that God does not simply provide by mysteriously putting money into the bank accounts of all of these different causes that we give to. Where does it come from? It comes from the pockets of the people of God who very willingly and liberally give to all of these causes. Very practically, this plays a huge role in our life as a member of this congregation and our denomination, and more broadly, as Christians living in this world. So giving in the first place is practical, but it's also deeply spiritual. And we need to remember that. I'm going to reiterate this later in the second point of the sermon. But in the providence of God, He has ordained what is a very practical matter, giving so that these things can take place. He's made that a deeply and profoundly spiritual matter as well. We are not concerned simply as Christians that in a bank account there is a certain amount of money so that what this organization or church or denomination wants to do can be done in a similar way that you would run your business. You're simply concerned that the money is there to do what you need to do. That's not the way that we treat money as it relates to the causes in God's kingdom. This is a spiritual matter. The causes that we give to are all involved with spiritual things. But also this especially, our actual giving to them is a deeply and profoundly spiritual matter. And it's spiritual because it's a matter of our worship of God's name. This is why we are giving in the worship service. Not like a business so that a certain amount of money is in a bank account to do certain work. We're giving in a worship service because it's our expression of our worship to God. And also, generally speaking, giving is personal. We need to approach this subject this morning from that point of view. There is a collective part to this. Together as a body, we give. And we support the church and denomination and other causes in God's kingdom. But we need to see this morning that as we talk about giving, it comes to each one of us personally. And the reason it comes to each one of us personally has to do with the point that I just made a moment ago, that this is a spiritual matter, and it's a spiritual matter because it's a matter of worship. And beloved, all of us, yes, as a body, but now specifically as an individual, is called to worship God. You see that in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Paul is very specific there to point out the responsibility that individuals have regarding worshiping God by giving. And so in your mind this morning, don't go across the aisle and don't go to some other person or some other family when you look at their outward circumstance and question their giving in their heart. Look at your own heart. Look at what God has given you. And look at whether or not you, in the right way, and I do the same this morning, are worshiping God in our giving. So giving is very practical, it's spiritual, it's also personal. But we need to see now, and this is the main point of the first point of the sermon, is that this element of giving is commanded by God in His Word. That's what we've been doing in these sermons on Lord's Day 35. We've been seeing that these different elements that we are engaged in as a congregation are clearly commanded in God's Word to be done. We saw that with the reading and preaching of God's Word. We saw that with singing. And now what we need to do is see that with respect to this element of giving. In the Old Testament, the people of God gave. They gave as it was commanded by God to do so. I'm not going to focus on the Old Testament, but we can say just a couple of things about that. If you were an Israelite in the Old Testament, you gave, and it was very clearly prescribed what you were to give as a member of the kingdom of Israel in the Old Testament. There was, for example, the temple tax, a tax that was levied upon all persons in the kingdom. A tax that had as its purpose the operation of the temple in the worship of God's name. It was clearly prescribed that this is what an Israelite was to give to that temple. In addition to that, there were all sorts of free will offerings. There were all sorts of offerings that they could give to as they chose to do so in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is clear. And in addition to that, there is the tithing that took place in the Old Testament. What I want to focus on, however, is the New Testament word and the example of the church in the New Testament. We see in the epistles, but especially in the Acts of the Apostle, that this is an important part in the church of Jesus Christ. To do that, we can start by looking at, for example, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 records the history right after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. We read the following in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 34. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold. So you see there, right at the beginning of the New Testament church after Pentecost, that the people gave. Now, some people look at that passage and say that it's an example of communism enforced upon the church, all things in common. That's not what is going on here. It's not that everyone owned things together. The point here is that the people gave in such a way that all of the needs among the people were provided for. And then later in the chapter, it gives an example of that. Joses, we read in verse 36, had land, sold it, and brought the money to the apostles' feet. That's a positive example. But then you read at the beginning of Acts 5, the negative example of Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Spirit. But what's striking about this is that this is emphasized right at the beginning of the New Testament church, right in the same vein as the preaching of the Word. That's what we read in verses 31 and 33. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But right in that, we read about the fact that they gave so that the needs of the people were met with two examples, one positive and one negative. If you flip a couple chapters later to Acts chapter 6, you read about the institution of the diaconate. God ordained the church at this time to choose men to be deacons. And the whole idea of a diaconate is predicated upon the fact that there would be those who gave to them to provide for the needs of the people. If this aspect of giving was not important, there would not have been the need for the deacons. We can flip now to the epistles. 2 Corinthians chapter 16. Well, let's start with still in Acts. Sorry about that. Still in Acts. Then we'll get to Corinthians. I want to look at Acts 11 now. 27 through 30. So we're in the middle of the book of Acts, and what we read in these verses is the following. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So what we have herein is an example of a congregation in Antioch providing for the needs of the church in Jerusalem. Agabus, a prophet, prophesied of a famine. There was going to be needs among the people in Jerusalem, and the church in Antioch believed it was important to provide for their needs, and therefore collections were taken and brought to them by Saul and Barnabas. And this is referred to later in the epistles as well. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 16. 2 Corinthians, there is no 2 Corinthians 16. There is, however, a 1 Corinthians 16. And that's what I'm referring to. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now that verse is important, referring now to collections for the saints. The significance of this verse is it ties this all together with what is the main point of the sermon this morning, that we are to worship God in our giving. Worship God in our giving. That's why it's an element of our worship. It's this verse in particular that leads us to see as a congregation not only that we have the calling to give, to support, because we give outside of the church. There are many times during the week that we give to causes. But this verse indicates very clearly, in conjunction with all of the Scriptures, that we are to give in our worship. And it does that because it highlights the first day of the week. Notice that in that verse. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. The first day of the week was the day of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The first day of the week is the New Testament Sabbath day in which we come together for worship. By mentioning specifically the first day of the week, what Paul is doing there is highlighting the fact that this is what we do on the Lord's Day in the worship of God's name. We give more generally as a church, but we're called as the children of God to give specifically in the worship of His name. It's clear from the Word of God that we are to do this, both the Old and New Testament. But we need to do it in the right way. As a congregation, it's very easy for us simply to give and think that we are worshiping God by that giving, when in fact, it's not the worship of God, because in reality, we are not doing it in the way that we are called to do it. And so we need to highlight this morning from the Word of God the manner in which we are to give. 2 Corinthians 9 has a lot to say about that, and we'll refer to that in a little bit. When we talk about giving now, what we are doing is talking about all of the causes to which we give in the worship of His name. It's not just the general fund, it's not just the benevolent fund, but anything we give to in the worship of God's name, we are to do it in this way. A few points highlight regarding the manner of our giving. In the first place, in our giving, in the worship of God's name, we must do this spiritually. I emphasized that right at the beginning of the sermon, but I want to reiterate that now. Our worship of God in our giving must be a spiritual matter that arises from our hearts. In John chapter 4, verse 24, we read that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. That applies to all of our worship. It applies to our singing, our praying, our reading and hearing the Word of God, but it applies to giving as well. We must worship God in spirit in our giving. In other words, we need to worship God spiritually in our giving. What this highlights is the fact that our worship of God in our giving is not, beloved, simply the act of having money in our hands and putting it into a collection plate. It needs to be a matter of our hearts. And if it's a matter of our hearts, this is what will be true in our giving. It'll be done very carefully. It'll be done with some forethought. It'll be done with some meditation upon what we are doing. If we're worshiping God spiritually in our giving, something needs to be going on in our hearts while we are doing that, in prior to our doing that. We need to take this very seriously. And obviously you've heard this before, but it's important to reiterate it, that the collection during church is not the intermission in church, in which we have a few minutes to recharge ourselves as we anticipate listening to a sermon for 45 minutes. It's not a time to do other things during the worship service. It's a time to think and to dwell upon what we are doing in the worship of God's name. We need to take this seriously, and another way that we take this seriously is by thinking about it ahead of time, so that we know what we are giving to in the worship of God's name. And we are therefore doing it in a way that brings glory to God's name. So it's a spiritual matter. We need to worship God in our giving spiritually. In the second place, regarding the manner of our giving, we can look at verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We are to give according as it purposeth, or we purpose in our hearts. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. The idea there is that each of us must give as we determine in our hearts to give. That's the idea of the purposeth in the heart. Every man determines for himself how he is to give and what he is to give, particularly regarding the amount. Remember, we're talking about giving generally to all of the causes of God's kingdom. This is part, beloved, of our liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, our freedom in Jesus Christ. As Christians living in the new dispensation, as those saved by Christ, the Christ who fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. This is something that's different regarding the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, we read about tithing, 10% of what you have given to the Lord. We don't tithe in the New Testament. That rule of tithing is not bound upon the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. We give as we purpose in our hearts. Each of you, myself including, stands before the Lord. We have the freedom to determine how we, in our standing before God and in our worship of God, are to give to all of the causes of the kingdom of God. And you have to face that question personally this morning. How are you purposing in your heart to give? How are you determining in your heart to give to the Lord? That's the idea. And if you're determining to give to the Lord in this way, that you list everything else that you need to give to, all of your other requirements that you have regarding what you pay, and then after that, what you give to the Lord, you're not purposing in your heart in the right way. You're not determining for yourself in the right way what you are to give. Beloved, it starts by determining that I'm going to give to the Lord first. And that's going to be my central focus with respect to the money that God has given me regarding what I do with that money. But stand before the Lord this morning and ask that question: how and in what way am I purposing in my heart to give? In the third place, the manner in which we are to give is, as verse 7 indicates, not grudgingly. Not grudgingly. The idea of that word is not with pain, with grief, with sorrow. That literally is the idea there. We must not give in such a way that when we let that money part from us, there is this grief in our hearts for what we just had to do. We've heard the expression, it hurts to give sometimes. And we use that sometimes in a positive way, that other areas of our life need to hurt. We need to limit ourselves in other areas to give. The idea here is negative, where it hurts because we don't want to do it when we give to the causes of God's kingdom. We have that money in our fist so tightly that when someone needs to pry those fingers apart, pain goes through our body to let that money fall into the collection plate, figuratively speaking. That's not giving, beloved, that pleases the Lord. And that is worshiping God, where it is grudgingly, with pain and sorrow, that we part with our money. Examine your heart in that regard. Does it hurt to give to the causes of God's kingdom? In the fourth place, the manner in which we are to give is not, as verse 7 says, of necessity. Not of necessity. What the Apostle Paul is emphasizing there is the fact that we are not to give only because we are compelled to give by others. If that's the only reason that you're giving as Christians, then it's not giving that is well-pleasing to God. If the only reason is so that when the deacons are collecting the offering plates, they have their eyes on you, or you know that other people can see you, and the only reason I'm putting money in here is because I feel compelled to do that, lest people think of me in a certain way, you're not giving in the right way. A word needs to be said in this respect concerning the general fund of the church. Too often, I believe, when it comes to the general fund and the budget, the tone of the discussion revolves around this idea that we are compelled to give to the general fund of the congregation in the support of the ministry of the gospel in this church. So that so often when we talk about these things, we talk about paying the budget in the similar way that you need to pay your taxes or you need to pay your gas bill or you need to pay your energy bill. You're compelled to do that. Someone is giving you the bill and you are required by the law to give that. Too often, the discussion that surrounds the general fund giving is that in nature. Paul is saying here, if you're giving, the only reason is because it's of necessity. It's not giving that is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's not why you pay the budget as a member of this congregation. You pay the budget of the member of this congregation because you want to, not because there is a body that is compelling that upon you. And if the only reason that you're parting with that money is because you feel compelled to do so, you may be giving, but it's not giving in a way that is well-pleasing to God. We need to church in our worship of God's name with joy and delight in our hearts. We take joy in that which we love to do. In the winter, our kids love to go sledding. They take joy when you as parents say, we're going in the car, we're getting in the car, and we're going sledding together. It's fun. It's joyful. They like to do it. Beloved, that needs to be the way in which we give to all of the causes of God's kingdom. The church, the poor, the schools, and all of the rest. That we want to. And we count it a privilege to support the causes of the kingdom of God. And that's the giver that God is pleased with. Last, the manner in which we are to give is liberally. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we read that in verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So our giving must be spiritual. It must be given as we purpose in our hearts. It must be not grudgingly, not of necessity. It must be with joy. It must be liberal. Are we liberally giving? Or have we been influenced by the affluence of our society in such a way that our perspective of what is needed and what is wanted is so skewed that it has hindered our ability to give liberally? You can wonder about that sometimes as our standard of living becomes so high that we think that we simply can't give liberally as we should. It's a question we face. And it goes back to that first point, or an earlier point that I made. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, every man, you as an individual, me as an individual, determine in our heart, in our standing before the Lord, am I giving liberally as I'm called to give? That means it requires examination, beloved. We won't know this if we don't think about this. If our giving is such that it's simply the same amount for everything, a dollar bill here, a dollar bill there, and we don't ever think about it, how will we know if we're giving liberally? This takes careful, prayerful thought in our relationship to the Lord. Called to give liberally. And we can say that we do. I don't say this morning questioning the liberal nature of us as a people. Not so long ago, I believe, Professor Dykstra in the Standard Bearer wrote about our Christian schools. And part of the point that he was making, I believe, was how much we give as a denomination towards our Christian schools. And it's amazing, simply amazing, that God has provided for all of our needs as a congregation and as a denomination, and more broadly in our schools. We open our hearts, we open our pockets, and we give. And let's continue to do that. Yes, we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves in every area. We need to be encouraged, too, that when we look back, the needs have always been provided for. And now as we move forward and there are needs, we look at our own congregation, we look at our schools, there are needs. We look back with thanks that God has always provided, and we look forward, trusting that God isn't going to change our hearts, but make us even stronger in this, so that with even more liberality and with more joy, we give to the causes of God's kingdom. As we look forward, we have an eye also on our next generation that is raised right now. And it's a little bit of a side point, but I think it's important. We need to teach our children to give so that they, with liberal hearts, not grudgingly of necessity, but with joy, give to the Lord. We need to teach our children at a very early age priorities and how to do this and why we are to do this. And it starts at an early age. Because this is a matter of our worship of God's name, for example, we need to be very thoughtful in our giving. And one of the ways that we can do that as Christians and as families in our home with an eye on our children is to talk about the giving that we do in church, for example, on a Saturday night. On a Saturday night, you sit together for your family devotions, your family worship, and you get the bulletin out. And you look, what are we going to give to tomorrow? How are we going to worship God in our giving tomorrow? And with your young children around, you talk, we're going to give to the general fund. And because that's a regular thing every week, you don't need to explain what that's about. And do you know what this word benevolent means? That's what we're going to give to. And we're going to give to a Christian school. And it doesn't have the city by it, but it's a Christian school. And you explain that this Christian school is in this city where we have a church. Or we're going to give to Adams School. You go to Heritage, but other kids go to Adams. And we're going to give to this school. But at a very early age, you do that regularly on a Saturday night so that you're thoughtful in your giving. And then you pray together as a family. And you ask God, help us tomorrow when we go to church to worship Thee and to worship Thee in this way by giving to these things that we just talked about. And then at a very early age, children can participate in that when they're able to in a responsible way, actually put the money, as many of our children do, in the collection plate. And then especially this, that when our children come to the age of making money, right at the beginning, when they begin taking some sort of income, that as parents, we teach them to give a portion of that to the church. I know we talked about of necessity, compelling someone to give. Well, our children need to be instructed. And sometimes they need to do what they don't want to do. And we pray that the Lord will work through that in such a way that eventually they take joy in doing that. But require that our children give a portion of what they make to the church. And that can start very early. When our young girls start to babysit, and they make $25 for babysitting on a Friday night, teach them, give a couple of those dollars to the church. You should do that. And then when we have more regular jobs, don't think first about filling your gas tank up or being able to go out to eat. You think first about giving some of that to a church. But that starts with parents, teaching children at a very early age the importance of giving, so that then when they are adults and the needs are real and the giving is more, they understand the importance of this. We have every reason to do this, beloved. Every reason, not simply to give, but to give in the way that we talked about it. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9 gives us the reason. The very last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, a whole chapter regarding giving, ends in this way: "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Why do we give, beloved? We give because God has first given to us the unspeakable gift. That gift is Jesus. That gift is God's own Son come into the flesh. That gift is Jesus and all of the blessings of salvation that are centered in Him and His cross. That gift is life with this Jesus, now and into all eternity. God is the giver of the greatest gift. And simply as a response, out of thanks, we give back to God. That gift is unspeakable, it says. Literally, indescribable. That doesn't mean that we can't describe it, explain it in some words. We can. We can talk about it forever concerning what this gift is, but the idea is that it's so deep, it's so profound, that an eternity in heaven will not exhaust glorying in the gift of Jesus and salvation in Him. Beloved, consider the gift that God has given to us. Consider that gift every time you consider the gift that you in return give to God. And consider how you give your gift is a reflection of what you think about God's gift to you. If you don't give liberally and with joy, and if you in fact only give out of necessity and grudgingly, what does that say about what you think about God's gift of Christ to you? Consider the great gift of Jesus. Jesus, the center of our worship, which is why we worship God in giving. And give with all of your heart. And that's what our offering needs to be. During the offertory, what are we doing? What we're doing is putting money in a collection plate. But spiritually, what we are doing is meditating upon this Christ and this gift that God has given to us. Because when we have that front and center, then we give in the right way. Was God compelled to give the gift of Jesus? No, He wasn't. Very willingly. Something He altogether did not have to do. But He did it because He loves His church. Was God liberal in His giving? Beyond words to describe. He didn't give us just something little. He didn't say you can come to heaven for a couple of years and experience the glory of life with me. He gave His own Son to the death of the cross, that which was most precious to Him. And as a result of that, He gives us life everlasting. God is the most liberal giver in all the world. Think about those things. When we sit together and worship God in our giving, and let that lead us to give in the right way, and to give in our worship of God's name out of thanks. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray that we might be a giving people, that we might love to give and find joy in giving. We are thankful that Thou hast given us giving in our worship, and we pray that we might truly not just do it outwardly, but from our hearts, glorify Thy name in our giving. We pray that Thou wilt forgive the sins of our worship service and receive our worship as a true expression of our thanks and love for Thee. For Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.